Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, some of the things we'll be discussing today. And hey, it's Friday, the 10th of May, 2013. You always notice I'm just a little more cheerful on Friday than any other day. Nah, that's not true. We had a great day here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. A lot of people took advantage of the lower prices today because what a day makes when we can go from the lows and turn around to the upside in silver. So it was a nice day in the silver market today, had a nice comeback, and gold didn't do so bad itself. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call for all your gold and silver coin needs here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. It includes a little bit of health. It includes wealth. We're keeping you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Gold today. You were very wise if you took advantage of the prices today. We're currently looking at gold down $15 at $1,444. We actually had a low of $1,418, so they hammered it all day long, but it's trying to make a comeback. Silver did make a little bit of a comeback. We had a low of $2,311. And it's up 4 cents at $2,389 for silver. And we have platinum down $16 at $1,494 and palladium down $3 at $710. It just seems like the silver products are available. You still have a lot of premiums on there. We can now get some, you know, rounds, and the premiums aren't too bad on those. They're up a little bit, but not much. The biggest premiums are still on the 1 ounce Silver Eagles with a couple of weeks delay for deliveries on those. So as long as you're a patient person, give us a call. We'll get the prices locked in for you. And I've got a list probably about as long as my arm that I need to, there's still a premium and you're still paying, you know, $29. You know, for Silver Eagles, even though the prices spot is around 24, shy of 24, so there is a premium. You might want to wait a little bit if you don't want to pay that high premium. It's a thing, but we got them if you want them. The markets today, let's see where the markets are today. Didn't have a chance to follow the paper markets, but, you know, they continue to climb upward. Ending higher for the third straight week, and both the Dow and the S&P are just shy of their record lows. You had the Dow up 35 points today at 15,118. The NASDAQ up 27 at 34.36. The 10-year yield, that's creeping up. We'll have to see if we get over 2 next week at 1.90. And I didn't do the USDX today, showing a lot of strength there, 0.50 at 83.18. And crude oil was down just about the same amount, 0.52 at 95.87. And interesting day in the markets. A lot of currency manipulations around the world, Al. And I heard a pretty good way of looking at things, Al. Like Japan, just like what we did, they're exporting their recessions through a lower currency. And
yeah, but they're not really going to succeed at exporting their recession with
it
that.
It really doesn't help the country. It doesn't help the people. It helps corporations.
It'll help the corporations.
Right.
It'll help the multinational corporations.
Absolutely.
If they're involved in global trade. Yeah, you're getting the Japanese people to work for less.
Yep.
So you can price your products less. So you can sell more products and make more profit for the multinational corporations, the big corporations in Japan. But how is it going to help? The presumption is that if the really wealthy people that are running these major corporations, if they make even more money, then they'll spend more money and it will trickle down to all the peons who are working, just barely trying to get by working a job. That's improbable. Again, my reading of one of the essential features, if you want to be rich, you have to be parsimonious. I don't think any truly rich person is handing out dollars and giving them away. You give more money to the rich will save more money, or they'll put it into investments where they can make more money, but they do not let it trickle down to the great unwashed. If you wanted to stimulate an economy, if you wanted to get out of a recession and you're going to hand out free money, give it to the great unwashed. They'll at least get a little advantage out of it. Make sure that the poor people in this country, in the middle class, give them enough money where they can spend it and get something out of it. They will waste it, quite probably, in fairly short order, and it will then trickle up to the rich. The rich will get it, but one of the things that will happen before they do, they'll have to compete among themselves. All right, got rich guy number A and rich guy number B. Instead of giving money to the rich, give it to the poor, and the rich will have to compete, A against B, to see who can generate the best product for the least money that the poor people and the middle class will buy. You will increase the quality of the products and lower the price of the products by the competition that's inspired by giving money to the rich, to the poor and the middle class. You give it to the rich, they're going to keep producing the same old crap they've been producing for decades. You subsidize the lack of competition, and it's not good for anybody. It doesn't help the economy, and inflation is just a device. It's not the same thing as providing money for the rich per se, not exactly, but it certainly cuts the wages of everyone who's working for a living, and those least hurt. And those best able to take advantage of the inflation will be the rich that are involved in major corporations, exporting corporations. Good for the New World Order, good for global free trade, lousy for the people of a nation.
Yep.
And this isn't just true in Japan, it's true in this country. They've been inflating our dollars, whereas the ads point out on this program every day, the value of the dollar has lost about over 95% of its value just since 1941, as measured against gold. That means you people are being robbed. Those of you working for hourly wages or even fixed conventional salaries, you're being robbed by inflation. And the government makes the inflation happen. Inflation isn't an accident. It's caused. It's intentionally caused. It's inspired. It's controlled within limits by the Federal Reserve and the federal government. And all they're doing is robbing the American people, and most people don't even understand it. You know, they're looking for their adversaries and their enemies overseas. You got all the trouble you can ever imagine or deal with in Washington, D.C. You don't need to look out across the oceans. I mean, there's things to see out there, and you don't just turn on blinders where you can't peer across the ocean and see what's happening overseas. But the biggest adversaries, the biggest enemies you have are in Washington, D.C. And a lot of people say that's radical talk, and it's not. It's exactly what George Washington was talking about when he said government, like fire, is a dangerous servant or a fearful master. They understood that government was at best a necessary evil. Right? It was at best, according to George Washington, a dangerous servant. He was saying, don't ever trust these SOBs. Don't turn your back on them. They are nothing but trouble given the opportunity. And at worst, they become a fearful master. You may have to deal with government, but you need to understand that the relationship is adversarial. You, if you're working for a living and you can support yourself, you got something government wants. And they will come up with one pretext or another to take it, but that's what it's all about. Government's not here to help us. Government is here to help government. You realize that? I don't know.
Not
the world
anymore.
Begins
I don't
to
even,
make a little more sense.
I'm not even so sure they're there to help themselves. I mean, certainly you have the strong relationship. They've been bought, paid for by Wall Street and all these multinational corporations. It's, you know, that's who they're helping.
Yeah, in the New World Order.
You know, that's what it's all about. It's the agenda on a whole is just not Washington now. They're just part of the, you know, they're just part of the ones to help complete the order. So,
well, I get that, but they represent themselves as being here to help us.
And most of them are probably paid and bought for, and they don't even know it.
No, I understand.
They don't even know. There's probably a bunch of them in there that probably think that they're doing good for their constituents, and they don't really understand what's going on. But the majority,
I don't think there's a bunch of them who think that. There may be a handful, but I don't think there's a bunch.
But on the other hand, the ones who do the most damage, I mean, the damage is still being done, and
you rise to a position of real authority within the Congress, within the Senate, within the White House. You're not going to get there unless you're part of a racket that is working against the best interests of this country.
Well, let's just look at this article. You had the IRS that was inappropriately flagging conservative political groups for reviews during the 2012 election. They were trying to check to see if they were violating their tax-exempt status.
Mm-hmm.
And this came out today, and these organizations were singled out because they just included the words Tea Party or Patriot in their applications for a tax-exempt status. And, you know, so now you're going to hear everybody scrambling. I heard anything. It was just a bunch of, you know, a few folks in Ohio that started doing this. But I'll tell you what, folks, these folks, nobody does anything unless they have some sort of a directive. And that directive is not going to be found on any paper or any emails. They've gotten smart enough to do that. Well, most of them anyway have gotten smart enough not to leave any trails to find out who done it. But, yeah. But, you know, it's interesting, though. It has to take it all the way up to the Tea Party, Al. I mean, you know, people who can actually come out and say something, but they've been doing this for years. I mean, how many people do we know that have been attacked and so forth by the IRS, you know, tax audits and so forth, just because they were associated with?
Well, I don't know how many people you know. You hear the story. You certainly hear the stories. I don't doubt that those kinds of pressures exist. I don't know. The whole thing, you know, you shouldn't even be able to get a story like that about the IRS being used for political purposes. And I don't mean that it should be censored. I mean it just flat out shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen once. You know how many people? In fact, that's exactly what goes on. We had a copy of the United States Assistant Attorney General's newsletter back in the 1990s, late 1990s. It would be 15 years ago now. But they explained, there was an article there that explained how they selected who they went after for criminal prosecution by the IRS. And the answer was they looked for people that had high profiles and where they could get the most publicity. They weren't interested in going after somebody no one had heard of. But they wanted to go after someone like Willie Nelson or you get the Leona Helmsley periodically, because they knew it would make the news and thereby intimidate the public. Because they sit back and they say, oh my gosh, if the IRS can get Willie Nelson, they can sure get me. And therefore, people would be essentially terrified into filing income tax who might not otherwise do so. Right? But they explained this was the reason. And in fact, you only have, even today, probably only about 1,000 criminal charges per year by the IRS. And usually there's 2 or 3 of them per defendant, which means there's only probably 400 or 500 defendants charged nationwide on a criminal basis by the IRS. There's a lot of civil suits that go on, but criminally, less than 1,000 per year, which means the chances of being charged criminally by the IRS, very slim.
Well, yeah.
If you are charged, you got a big problem, but the odds of it happening. My point, nevertheless, was that they shouldn't be selecting people based on their publicity value. And yet that's exactly what they explained. They said, that's why we're doing it. And we're looking for where we can, or they would look for a particular profession, like airline pilots. They went after them for a while. And what they did is they would select pilots, airline pilots, commercial aviation pilots, and they would target them for prosecution, knowing that the stories about airline pilots being prosecuted would transfer into the airline pilot community. It might not go out to where Joe Sixpack hears about, you know, Pilot Smith is being charged by the IRS, but everybody in the Aiken commercial aviation would hear about it. And that was the way they would intimidate compliance. And, you know, it's just wrong. Melody, do you have your mute button on again?
No, I don't.
Uh-huh.
No. Yeah, and you know what, you know, and Al, they don't have to go after anyone criminally, but I'll tell you what, the amount of money that it costs just to show that you are right in your taxes and your, I mean, it puts a lot of people into, you know, it takes a lot of people, you know, close to bankruptcy. They lose a lot. It's very difficult to defend and to show.
Prove that you didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, I know. The whole thing is bizarre. One of the things that I thought about, you know, we talked the other day where we're talking about the number of self-employed people had fallen from about 25% of the population, the working population, back in 1950 to where it's about 7% today. Much of the reason for that is the new complicated forms and laws and regulations are too much. You may know how to do plumbing, but you don't know how to do tax law, and therefore you can't afford to be a plumber. It's part of the reason you can't have your own plumbing business or your own roofing business or whatever. The regulations are too great. One of the things that would be a wonderful thing for this country is if someone just got a copy of the income tax forms that had to be filed, let's say back in 1950. And they just said, okay, we're going to get rid of all, you're going to reinstate the 1950 tax forms. Right? We're going to get rid of the modern tax forms, get rid of the modern regulations. Here's all you got to do. This is whatever. I don't know what it said in 1950. I don't recall. But I'll guarantee it was a lot simpler than what we have now. And it was the sort of thing an average man could understand, and he could also stay in business. So let's go back, Melody. Why don't we file? I'm going to file this next April. Why don't you use the 1950 tax form? Send that in there. See if we could. Maybe we could even find them and we could start marketing 1950 tax forms. Any case, we're getting close to our break time here. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll take a break for some commercial announcements and be right back. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, we talked about the, you know, exporting recessions that doesn't do anything for the people of the countries, and they're all doing it, but through currency manipulation. But the youth. And when we talk about unemployment, some of the numbers are just staggering. There's no jobs for them.
Well, yeah, we've got an article here from Zero Hedge, Generation Jobless, a quarter of the planet's youth. A quarter of the planet's youth is neither working nor studying. Now, there's an unequal distribution here, but regardless, we have a graph. South Asia, and I'm not precisely sure what all is encompassed in that, but South Asia, presumably, I don't know that this refers to China per se at all, but it goes into Vietnam and that sort of thing, I assume. South Asia, 31% of the youth are unemployed. East Asia and the Pacific, 18% are unemployed. Sub-Saharan Africa, 21% are unemployed. Middle East, 40%. Middle East and North Africa, 41% basically of the youth there are unemployed. Latin America, 23%. Europe and Central Asia, 24%. It doesn't say right here. It doesn't say in this one graph what the unemployment rate is for youth in this country. Here's the United States. Let me see this. But the point is this. If it's true, as this reports, that globally, the global average is about 24% of the youth are unemployed, and they're not going to school either, what do you think they're doing? What do you think they're going to do? What do you think they are ripe to do? All right? They're not just sitting there at their PlayStation doing video games. Sooner or later, they're going to come out of the basement and they're going to want a car or a house or just money to eat. And they're not being they're not employed and they're not being educated. And for me, that's just evidence of very fertile ground for revolution, domestic revolutions, demonstrations, challenges to the government, and so on. And on a global basis, again, Middle East and North Africa, 40.6%, almost 41% of the youth over there are unemployed. Do you think that indicates that the Middle East and North Africa is going to remain stable? Or do you think it indicates that they're going to explode? Which is more likely? I'm not saying they will explode, but it doesn't take a lot of intelligence to look at these numbers and realize all those kids, they're ready to rock, and everyone else better be, they had better be ready to deal with that rock and roll when these kids start, and something like that is probably true in this country, although the number of youth that's unemployed is not as great in this country as we're reporting from the foreign countries, but just the same. It's part of the reason why you've got to maintain a functioning and prosperous economy. You can't afford to run the economy where you inflate the currency and you drive people's wages down to where they can't afford to hire. They are working for less. It makes it more difficult for them to support themselves and their family. It creates a strain in the job market, more competition in the job market. It means less kids are employed. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to break into somebody's house at minimum and steal a TV set, a flat screen TV that they can pawn for $50 or something. In order they have a little money to go buy a hamburger and some drugs. You have to hold that economy together where these kids have an opportunity to dissipate their energies. Because if you don't, they're going to dissipate those energies in a way that is completely contrary to the best interests of society. So, dangerous business.
Well, Al, do you really think that perhaps all the prescriptions that have been passed out to the youth to make sure that they stay more idle and calm?
Well, it might be.
You know,
that's
a good point. You have parents, that basically take, these youth are a lot different than they were many years ago. And I think many years ago, yeah, you were closer to that type of a situation. But in today's, and the ones that are successful, the ones that do go to school and so forth, look how much more that they're going to have to take care of those who can't do anything or do anything.
I understand what we're talking about is to some degree Ritalin or similar drugs that they're passing out and giving to kids, mandating it for kids, especially boys. It can't be a question of boys will be boys, which means boys will be rowdy. It is their nature. All right. But our schools are saying, no, there's a problem. We need to give them some drugs. We can't allow them to be boys. We've got to give them drugged boys. That's what we're looking for. You start that out with some kid who's 6 years old or 8 years old or whatever and continue it through the next 10 years of his life. What's going to happen to that child when he graduates from high school? Is he headed for college? Is he headed for a prosperous career? Or has his mind already been rendered, less functional? I don't know. There are some things that are happening in this world, though. It's like, do you know what some people think ultimately collapsed the Roman Empire?
What?
Plumbing. Sounds like a dumb idea, doesn't it? What could plumbing have to do with collapsing the Roman Empire? The Romans
figured out. Did you ever see their outhouses?
No. That wasn't the problem.
Stone.
No, that wasn't the problem. The problem was the water supply system from those viaducts was achieved with lead pipe. And some people suspect that what happened is by virtue of their advanced technology, which must have seemed wonderful, we can move water into our courtyards, we can move water into our homes, and it's a wonderful thing, but the water was carrying some lead. There's some people who think that's what finished the Roman Empire. They ingested so much lead that they couldn't think straight anymore. Now, I won't argue that that was the cause. I'm simply saying some people made that argument, and it's the kind of argument you can look at in today's society. Nobody really knows what's going on with Ritalin. Nobody even knows what's going on with cell phones. What we do know is that there's money to be made. Ritalin manufacturers say, yes, let's put all the kids on Ritalin. Let's put all the adults on Ritalin, and we will sell the Ritalin, and we will be rich. Right? And that's all that's being considered. They're not worried about whether the kids are going to be impaired or not. That's irrelevant. The main thing is let's sell some Ritalin. Or let's sell some cell phones, which some people think may be conducive to brain cancer and so on. And maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know. But no one else knows either. Not for an absolute fact. All we know is there's money to be made, and we run on that basis, and inevitably we're going to do something that's so stupid that it's going to cause us enormous problems. We talked yesterday about the problem with honeybees. No one knows for an absolute fact. Well, so far as there is no consensus that of which I'm aware of what absolutely is causing the honeybee colonies to collapse, but it doesn't matter exactly what the cause is, it's happening. And if it goes far enough, there will be little or no fruits and vegetables to be raised in this country. And the price of food is going to go so high that most of us won't be able to afford it. Plus, who knows? You could wind up starving for lack of honeybees, and no one is paying enough attention to this problem. I know there are people that are serious and they're trying to get at it and whatever, but just the same, there's nothing official going at it, probably because there's no money in saving the honeybees in an obvious sense right now. And whatever is causing the collapse of the honeybee colonies is probably, it's making money. And so they're making arguments, oh, no, it's not our fault. It's not because of the cell phones. It's not because we moved the honeybees around. Somebody's got to take some of this stuff seriously, and we have to learn that there are things in life that strangely, are even more important than money. And sometimes we have to do things just because they're right rather than whether or not they're profitable. And that idea is almost... it's like speaking in tongues if you try to communicate that idea to people in positions of power. Look at you like you're crazy. What are you talking about? If something makes money, that's it. That has become the foundation for our morality. Is it profitable? Good, then it must be right. Is it unprofitable? Then it must be wrong. And it's not that simple. It can't be that simple. There are things that are right and wrong regardless of whether they are profitable. And in fact, there are things that are wrong and even though they are profitable. And we have to start living on the basis of what is right and wrong rather than what is profitable and unprofitable. And if we're not willing to do that, we're going to head for a problem where the Romans may have collapsed because they had lead pipes. Who knows what's going to get us? Hard to say, but we are courting danger if we just blindly pursue profits. So, I don't know that that's my speech du jour, but that's part of it at least.
Well, I had an email in from Lily. from the other day. And I'll see if I can't pull this up here on my emails. But we did talk about the, about educating the children. They need to, if we want to see change, it starts in the home. It starts by educating the children so they have a sense of right and wrong, and, and that they have accountability for the decisions. And it all comes with homeschooling. So it's, I'll see if I can't bring up her email here in a little bit. And she believes that that's how we, that's where we have to start to change everything.
It would be a good start, but how easily, and it's, homeschooling is superb. Generally speaking, it is so much better than public schools. But the problem is, how can you homeschool if mom's not home? And how can mom be home if they've raised taxes to a degree where dad can't support the family all by himself? Now it takes two people working to generate a standard of living comparable to what one person could generate back in the 1950s. Right? Mom can't stay home. Who's going to do the homeschooling? For most families, they have to use public schools. Other people, I know that it's not true in all cases, of course. Some women can't stay home and they can't homeschool the kids. But for the majority of women, it's not even an option. Why? Because the taxes are so high that the husband can't make enough money to support the family. She has to work. She doesn't get to work. She has to work. Why? Because government wants a cut of what everyone makes. And they take it for granted that, well, they're just entitled. We're the government. And of course we're entitled to your money. How else could it be? The whole thing is nuts. But it does go to values. And it's one of the essential features that all of us have to become more sensitive to. Values other than profit and loss. What are the other values? You know, right and wrong. Well, what else have we got, Melody? I've got another one here that, matter of fact, we were just talking about 24% of the youth unemployed around the world. Here's another article from Casey Research, entitled, Why Are So Many Seniors Still Working? Senior Citizens. And essentially what it gets down to, I mean, interesting article, but what it gets down to is that people have reached the age of 65, as I have, and they're still working. They would, they perhaps expected that they would be retired, and it hasn't worked out. And why not? Well, the value of their home may have depreciated significantly after the collapse in housing prices, and they may have counted on the equity in their home to help support them in their golden years. And whatever pensions they may have had or expected to have didn't pan out. Plus, inflation is eating away at whatever their income is, their standard of living. And the result is a lot of seniors are still taking jobs, some because they have to. And others like myself, because I don't know if I could make it without a job, Melody. I suppose I could. I mean, it's kind of tempting to think about just sitting there on the porch and rocking. But the truth of the matter is you need something to give your life a certain amount of meaning. But it factors in the 24% of children, that previous article. Part of the reason these kids don't have jobs is because seniors do. People who should have retired or would have been otherwise expected to retire, they kept their jobs. They're still working. And they may continue until they're 70 or 75. And those are jobs that will not, that would, if they'd retired, those jobs would be made available for kids. Huh? Insofar as the seniors are not retiring as expected, and not only not retiring, they're living longer. Part of the reason people keep their jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, if a average man, when I was a kid, probably only expected to live to be 66, 67 years old. So if they had a chance to retire at 65 and get 2 years of goofing off before you plant them, they probably, this is a pretty good deal. And it wasn't too expensive for Social Security in the country. We could afford to let them take off for a couple of years before they were planted. But today it's not the case. 65, you may have another 15, 20 years of life in front of you. Do you want to spend those 15, 20 years without working? without making some sort of productive contribution? And that's assuming you have enough money to get by. If you don't have enough money to make it for the next 15, 20 years after you retire, now what? You have to keep, you can't retire. You have to keep working. So the point I'm getting to is we have a growing demand for jobs that's exceeding. The demand is growing and the supply of jobs is diminishing. And it's bad news for all of us. We'll talk a little more about it when we return in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. I've got another one here to follow on the same theme, talking about retirement. This is from MoneyNews.com. Survey, 87% of Americans not confident about their retirement. Despite the Dow recently hitting all-time highs, millions of Americans still have a dismal outlook when it comes to their own ability to retire. A new survey conducted by the Employment Benefit Research Institute indicates a startling fact. A mere 13% of workers are very confident when it comes to having enough money to retire. More than twice that number, 28% of respondents said they were not at all confident about their ability to retire comfortably. And that was triple the number from three years ago. This just factors in. This is just another one of those, you know, leaves in the breeze that tell us, that help to explain something that's fairly obvious. You have perhaps planned on retirement, and guess what? You may have to put that off for a while. You may have to keep on working whether you want to or not. And that's, you know, I am so far blessed with good health. And it's the sort of thing where, you know, I can afford to not only afford to work, I enjoy the work, and I'm healthy enough to do the work. A lot of people aren't. A lot of people are going to hit retirement, and they are not going to be the retirement age of 65, and they will not be physically able to continue to work, and yet they're not going to have enough money for anything like a comfortable retirement. The Social Security will give you a little bit, and you can get by on it. I understand that. But with the inflation that we've had and the inflation that we can anticipate that government certainly wants to cause, you can expect that whatever you're receiving from Social Security will be diminished in the future. And it's the same thing for other pensions. You're going to have the same problem, and everyone understands this. It's another evidence of where is our economy, Melody? If the senior citizens have to keep working and the kids can't find a job, what does that tell us about the economy?
Well, it tells us, you know, we'll get rid of the seniors, open jobs mm-hmm. for those young ones. And but you know what? The expectations.
We're certainly in a recession and
Absolutely.
Maybe even a depression.
Absolutely.
That's where we are right now. All right, it's just evidence. Government talks about a recovery. There isn't any recovery going on around here.
You know, during the break, we talked about retirement. In the one article, it talked about how the financial planners would figure your, you know, how long your money needed to last, and it was for 120 years. And, you know,
how long it needs to last for the government.
Yeah, yeah.
Government needs 120 years worth of your money, but
and we talked about my grandparents, your parents, you know, what they lived on, how the small amounts, very happy, were able to live very comfortably. They had what they need. Right. And I think the expectations of retirement today are really driven by Wall Street. You know, it's the carrots you need to retire at these, you know, levels that is not attainable by probably 90% of the population.
How many people, you know, a lot of people retire and they own their own home. And if they can avoid property taxes, that's a great thing. If the property taxes are still fully imposed upon them, it becomes a sore spot. But while we're talking during the break, I just mentioned my dad bought a retirement farm in Wisconsin back about 1970. And he had 100 acres, and his partner, and they had a business, and his partner bought an adjacent farm that was also about 100 acres, and my dad stayed up and ran the 200 acres and raised 180 head of Black Angus cattle and the rest of it, and I lived up there for a while, and there was a farmhouse on the property, and they knew from maps, the farmhouse was identified on old maps going back to about 1900. So the first farmer on that property, he built his house there. And that's what my dad was living in 1970. But you could see in the house itself, you had what was now a kitchen, and there was a living room, and there was a dining room, and there was a bathroom, and there was an outside porch coming in there. They were all on the ground floor. I think there were five or six rooms on the ground floor, and there was a second floor also. But you could see from the levels of the floor that didn't match from room to room, right? They'd be off half or three quarters of an inch. And what it meant when you went from one room to another, there'd be a bump in the floor. What did it mean? It meant that the original farmer built one room. And he and his wife and the kids, they all lived in that one room, which was probably, today it would be the kitchen, it turned into the kitchen. But the reason he built the one room is he worked the farm, and he made some money, and he saved his money where he had enough lumber and whatever else he needed to build that one-room cabin. And then he saved more money, worked the farm, and he saved more money and had enough lumber to build another room. And he added it on. And the floors didn't exactly match, but they now had two rooms, and one of them was probably either the kid's bedroom or the parents' bedroom. Who knows exactly what it was. And then when they had enough money, they built more. They added another room and another room. And the net result is it may have taken this guy 5-8 years to build that whole house. But when he was done with it, he owned it free and clear. He didn't have any debt. Right? And he built that house. We can't do that today. Why? Zoning requirements. Zoning requirements essentially mandate, in most cases, not everywhere, but in most cases, the government says, well, you've got to build the house that's got two bedrooms or three bedrooms and two baths and a kitchen and a garage and a living room and a dining room. You got to put the whole thing together one time and build the whole house. And what does that necessarily mean? You have to go into debt. The average man cannot build a house today without going into debt. The farmer could. And I know that people like zoning regulations because they don't want some kid moving in next door who's going to build a one-room shack next to your $250,000 McMansion. Because he's going to cut the price. He's going to cut the property value of your McMansion. We don't want that kid coming in there. And yet, if he's hardworking and he's young and he wants a house, he's going to start with that one room. And next year, he's going to add another room. And the year after that, another room. And before you know it, he's going to have a house. And he's not going to be in debt. It would be an advantage to the society if we began to respect the right of young people or anybody to build your own house a room at a time. Today, we can ask ourselves, are zoning regulations really intended to protect the property values of existing homeowners? Are they intended to maintain the quality of homes in a particular subdivision or area or whatever? And the answer is yes, yes, that's true. But to what degree are zoning regulations intended to ensure that you aren't going to have a house unless you're ready to go deeply into debt and stay in debt for the next 20 to 30 years? What would happen to these if we had people who were allowed to build their homes a room at a time? I guarantee they wouldn't be in debt for most of their lives. They would have additional income that would otherwise have been paid off to the banks. And it would actually accrue to them once they had that house built. We might be a far more prosperous nation. We might be a little bit messier. We might have a $1 million mansion next to a $30,000 one-room cabin. It could happen. But in balance, I wonder if we wouldn't be better off if we did that. In any case, for right now, you want to build a house, you can't build a house without bringing in a bank. If you don't have access to the bank, don't have access to credit, it's going to be very difficult for you to build a house because they're not going to let you put it up one room at a time. Save your money. You can in places. I know it can happen in places, but mostly not. So it's evidence that our government, with its brilliant regulations, is ultimately strangling this country. Somewhere along the line, we have to just let freedom ring. And that means we got to let some of the yokels move in next door who are only going to put up a $30,000 one-room cabin. But in the end, it may not be the best thing in the world for the $250,000 McMansion. But it's at least arguably a good idea for the country. No.
I read an article, Al, not too long ago about Texas, that they do have communities where there is no zoning, and you can put up that one room, color it purple, yeah, and next to, and everybody seems to enjoy the,
the diversity.
A little bit of character to the neighborhood. And
Houston is like that.
Is that Houston I was reading? Yeah.
Yeah, Houston doesn't have serious zoning regulations. At least they didn't back several years ago. I don't know where it sits right now. But you can drive down the road in Houston and you'll see a $1 million house right next to an oil refinery. I mean, they've got industry mixed with business, mixed with residence. You got the land, build it. Build whatever your land, build whatever you want on it. Well, it makes for kind of an interesting mix of the properties. But there's a kind of energy there. There's a kind of vitality.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I own that land. I'll build what I want on it. All right, government isn't in there saying, oh, no, you can only build this, that, or the other. That land is zoned this way or there. Oh, my God.
We got a question coming in, and then we're just about out of time. And before we go to the question, it is Mother's Day weekend, and I just want to wish all the mothers out there Happy Mother's Day, Al.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. And this question is in from Al. Whistleblower Greg Hicks told to take desk job or be terminated, as stated by his attorney. This was revealed by the U.S. House hearing about the Benghazi fiasco. What is your take on this cover-up?
Well, you don't go to get jail for the crimes. They've said for years you go to jail for the cover-up. All right? You make a mistake. If you admit it, you walk away. You make a mistake and try to cover it up, and that's when you get into big trouble. It's hard to say how Benghazi is going to shake out, how long they will drag it out, but it doesn't seem to be going away. So I'm going to guess that somebody's head is going to roll. Maybe a couple of people's heads will roll, or at minimum, some wrists will be slapped. Right? The government is going to have hearings. Congress will have hearings. And before it's done, wrists will be slapped. So you better watch out. Hard to say what's going to happen. You know, a lot of important people are involved. I've seen one report that says ultimately the cause for the Benghazi debacle can be traced right back legitimately to Obama. All right. Some people think that. Other people think it goes as far as Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to expect to see Hillary Clinton penalized over Benghazi. I'm not going to expect to see Barack Obama penalized over Benghazi. But there'll be some clerk, there'll be some lower-level official who's going to take the heat on it. Maybe a couple of them before we're done. We'll watch and see. But what do you say? Business as usual. The government thinks itself above the law, and every once in a while it is exposed for that arrogance. And when you see, and that's what we're talking about, somebody made a decision that was stupid and wrong, and they just thought they'd never get caught. They are encouraged by the kinds of immunity that we provide to government, and they think, oh, we'll never get caught. And even if we do, we get immunity. Well, now they've been caught, and we'll see if their immunity holds up. If it gets sufficiently political, public, immunity can disappear, and somebody's going to have to take the heat. You know, it's like Bernie Madoff. I have no idea how many billions and billions of dollars have been robbed by Wall Street, but somebody had to take the heat, and that's why we had Bernie Madoff. We'll see how it works out in the future. Down to last 45. Melody, you want to add something?
No, just, you know, there's no accountability, but you know what, Al? Doesn't seem nobody cares.
Yeah, I know.
No one cares. All right, you know, well, it's Washington. You know, they get away with it. I can remember being raised, you know, everybody's been conditioned. Everyone's been conditioned to think there's nothing they can do about it. Everybody's been conditioned to say, that's a politician for you. You know, that we know they lie.
Yeah, we do. We understand it. We take it for granted, and we don't expect any better. And that's perhaps one of our biggest problems. We don't demand better from our own government. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back next Monday. Thank you for listening. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.